Hello, this is Naresh Chandrandi, and I'm here at Copenhagen at the People's Conference at Climate Forum. And I have with me today Tim Jackson, who is the Economics
Commissioner
of the Sustainable Development Commission. He's just recently written a report called Prosperity Without Growth and published a book in the same name. Looking at the, trying to tease out the differences between what, how can we have an economy that isn't growing but is providing us with prosperity at the same time. So could you just tell us in a few words, what exactly you say in this report? What sort of things, what do you mean by prosperity without growth?
Well, prosperity really means people's ability to flourish, to do well, essentially, to have a good life, a decent life, and one that is in harmony with rather than in conflict with other people and with the environment. So that idea, why is that idea different from a growth-based economy? Well, for the obvious reasons, really, that a growth-based economy is driving us towards an ecological cliff that is not fulfilling the needs of the poorest nations, and actually in the richer nations isn't really delivering happiness. Sometimes it's even undermining it. So it's about teasing apart those two ideas and really saying our prosperity depends on much more than just having more and more income, more and more consumption, more and more growth. Nobody denies that we need income growth in the poorest nations, but in the richer nations, actually, probably it's time to say we have enough of that. And perhaps not enough of the things that contribute to a genuine sense of well-being.
Great. So can you just sort of give us a few headlines, a few indications of what that economy might look like and how it might be different from the economy we have now?
It has a very strong focus on investment, but a very different focus than the investment focus that we've had in the past. So what we need to invest in the new economy, if you like, is the transition to a low-carbon economy, so low-carbon technologies. We need to invest in renewable energies, we need to invest in ecological protection and maintenance, actually, if you like. It's a basic thing that you have to protect your ecological assets. And the interesting thing about that is that it drives a whole new set of activities that are much more embedded in the environment, embedded in community, and involves people in a different way in community. So that's one of the key messages, that sort of investment. And then the other is about how we think about enterprise. And again, we need a different sense of enterprise that isn't about chasing more and more output from fewer and fewer people, but that actually is about engaging people in the business of capabilities for flourishing in local community-based enterprises that tread lightly on the environment, that involve people in meaningful work, and that deliver the capabilities for people to flourish in non-material ways. So those two things, a different sense of enterprise, different sense of investment, very fundamental rethinking of how economic activity is organized.
Okay. And now, have you... So that gives a sense of sort of where we're going. Have you given some thought to how we might get there? What's the process? What's the transition? You know, I'm sure you've heard now talk about transition, and that it's, you know, our concept is that we need to design a way to get from where we are now to where we want to get to. So, have you got a sense of what that might look like in an economy or for an individual business?
It's actually different at different levels. So actually what Prosperity Without Growth sets out is a whole menu of things actually that need to be at the level of policy changes about how investment's structured, how we do national accounting, how we incentivize consumers or don't incentivize consumers, how we regulate advertising, how we support communities, a whole raft of things that are important at the policy level. At the business level, I mean, it is very interesting because businesses do have to think about different kinds of business models, and they have to understand really that enterprise should be about providing people with services, things that contribute to people's well-being in a resource-light way, and that means different kinds of business models, so more built around how you provide services to people and how you reduce the material impacts associated with that. And in the process of that, it turns out that you also have to think about how you structure profitability, how you think about what you do with the surpluses from economic activity and reinvesting some of that surplus actually into communities, into low carbon technologies, into ways of increasingly making that the footprint of the enterprise lighter. So those are at the level, so at the national level, whole raft of policies, at the business level, a different sense of what a business model is. In the level of people, it is actually largely about engaging in communities and in economic activities in a different way and saying these choices are there for me to take right now. We can organise food systems differently, we can approach transport differently, we can think about community differently, we can make changes at the level of the individual life as far as it's possible to do within the existing structures. But one of the lessons is actually you need all that spectrum, really you need action at all those levels to make it work.
Okay, so how is it different from the current kind of corporate responsibility agenda that in terms of what you're...
It's massively different. The corporate responsibility agenda for the most part is a sort of form of well, it's a little bit harsh to say, but there's a lot of presentational communication stuff that's being forced on companies to be perceived as green. There's no real sense of changing underlying business models. Mm-hmm. And where those changes occur, actually, they're occurring not in the big corporations, but actually in smaller social enterprises, much more connected to localities and to communities, mm-hmm. and in much less pervasive ways. Unfortunately, there's a, you know, there are places where those models are being developed, but it's not the mainstream, and it's not what's happening in corporate responsibility.
Right. And my last question is if businesses are now coming to us on the transition and saying, okay, we want to be a transition business, what do we do? What should I say to them?
Well, do you let them be a transition business? I mean, I think if the movement is in the direction of understanding that their model, their way of working is different, then you would say yes. But the three key things I would look for, I think, one is, you know, what is your footprint actually as a business? Are you changing the direction of that? Are you reducing the footprint? Are you looking at your supply chains? And the second thing is, you know, what are the products that you're producing? Are you actually contributing to people's ability to flourish in less materialistic ways, or are you just developing more stuff that's pumping its way through the system? And then the third thing is, how is your business model structured? Where do profits go? Do they go equally along the supply chain? Are they siphoned off by shareholders who have no stake in how the business is run? Or do they come back? Are they being put back into the community, into your business, in meaningful ways that make this journey towards a sustainable enterprise an ongoing journey, one that you can think of a reasonable endpoint for, and one that really does engage in transition? Because if it's the same structures operating in the same ways with no real intention other than words, then it's worse than useless, I would say.
Great, fantastic. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your time, and good luck with the rest of
your... Thank you. You introduced